Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. Man, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, Lord. We thank you for answering our prayers, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing tonight and that open heaven that you've afforded us, Lord. We praise you for that. Because we know when we pray, we're going to get what we pray. And we thank you for it, Father. We come against the enemy all the time, and we know and we see and we can hear that you're doing the job because you're getting run over. The deep state's getting slammed, and our deep state's getting slammed too. The factions are backing off. The deep state's backing off. Lord, because your angels are out there on the job, and your people are on the job too, doing the praying. I come against all witchcraft in the name of Jesus, against our president and his cabinet. And we thank you, Father, for your sending back all curses back to where they came from tenfold, that those people would learn not to do that. And Father, we thank you that you have a hedge of protection around every chosen vessel of yours, that these witchcraft curses won't affect them one iota. And we thank you, Lord, that you're teaching your people to rebuke the wiles of the devil and to believe that it's done. We don't have to worry. We sit in the rest because we know that it has been taken care of. We praise you, Father, for throughout this whole world, that all the witchcraft curses against your people will come to naught except on back on them in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that the curses and the spells that are sent against Donald Trump are cast down. They have no effect on him or his cabinet in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask and we pray those that are praying for his death, that that curse would come back on them in the name of Jesus to teach them to not do that. And Father, we praise you that you're going to get the glory out of this too. You're going to get the glory, Lord. Nobody else could have done this but you. And Father, we praise you for taking care of your people and taking care of Donald Trump and his cabinet up there and all the people associated with him that are his, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that tonight your anointing is going to be upon everybody here, and that our prayers would be one of sincere, heartfelt prayers, Lord, that are going to be answered by faith. And you give us the faith. You've given us all great and bold faith. Believe what your word says in your promises. And Father, we thank you for doing that. And I praise you, Father, for all that's going to be accomplished in everyone tonight, that we lose a whole lot of the flesh tonight, that we leave behind all of the world. And that the only thing that matters now is you, Jesus. That we need to die on the cross. We need to carry our cross and die on that cross and allow you to live through us, Lord. And we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that everybody here has forgiven everyone from the heart that they've had problems with in the past. And Lord, I thank you that you are setting up this great, mighty, and wonderful bride to be walked into by those who love you, Lord, and those who are willing to die to themselves and to the world. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, a little something. Has anybody got anything? What did I do with my phone? Ah. Okay, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Well, I have a testimony and a prayer request. So the testimony, For those who were on here before the recording started, I guess I'll kind of give a brief recap. But, well, God showed up in a mighty way at my job this past Saturday. You know, folks prayed for me. I asked several people to pray for me, and it's happened before. But our workload has increased within the past week or two. And so Amazon, the company, and they've ordered a lot of stuff. So, you know, that's increased our hours a little bit. And working Saturdays and later Saturdays. So this past Saturday, you know, a lot of us were tired, you know, just working a lot of hours and really tired. But I believe every day, usually they schedule like 25 orders. You know, and that could be several orders within an order, but it's like 25 trucks basically. And this past Saturday we did 41. So, you know, I mean, I had, God showed up, you know, he gave me supernatural strength. Really wasn't tired throughout the day. It might've been a couple times that, you know, I could feel something coming on, but it didn't last, you know? So it was really encouraging, you know, to see that. And it's happened before, kind of like that too. So, you know, I want to thank God for, or thank those who prayed. You know who you are, but you know, just thank God for showing up in a major way there to provide energy for everybody. So, you know, thank you, Lord. And I have a prayer request. Well, I want to stretch my faith there a bit. About a couple weeks ago, in the early morning before I was getting ready to head to work, you know, and I kind of felt the enemy coming against me, or, I mean, I, you know, set me up or something. I had a neighbor of mine back into my car. You know, I didn't see him as I was backing out of my spot, and kind of from the distance, there was a dump the garbage truck coming to pick up the garbage. And so, I mean, I saw him, but then as I'm backing out of my spot, I didn't see he was backing out of his spot. So he kind of came right into my door. And I had to honk the horn there about 4 a.m, so I'm sure I woke plenty of people up. But, yeah, I mean, he put a decent dent in there. Nothing major, you know, so we got out. And we didn't even exchange information. I thought, well, you know, I'll let it go. You know, I was kind of thinking, I don't want to hold it against him, you know. I thought it'd be a better witness just to say, well, hey, you know, I mean, I'll get with you later. And I never even did. So, I mean, the dent's still there. But I've been praying about it, and I want to have everybody agree with me, you know, that God will just restore that. You know, it's not a very big dent. I mean, it's in a couple spots there where he backed into it. And I want to, you know, I want to believe that the door will return to normal. So, I mean, if anyone feels led, if not, just, well, better yet. Well, yeah.
You remember when Judy had her little problem with exactly. Tree falling on her, yep. That the Lord fixed that. So it ain't nothing that God can't do.
Amen.
Go ahead, brother. We'll believe right with you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I believe that instance, Lord, where the neighbor of mine, well, in the next building over, but still a neighbor, he backed into me, and I kind of sensed the enemy was setting me up for something. Lord, it's, you know, it's absolutely nothing for you to pop that dent right out and just make the door look like brand new, or make it go back to the way it looked before. So, Lord, I just, I thank you, and I just agree with everybody here. We believe that, you know, whatever we ask for, and we believe for it, it's ours. So I believe, Lord, that you're going to fix that car, you're going to smooth that dent out, or just pop it right back out, however you want to do it. It doesn't matter. So I just command that dent in both areas on the door to just come out right now in the name of Jesus, and just that door to be restored. I thank you, Lord, for doing this. And I just, you know, I'll get photos afterwards and show them to everybody. But thank you for this miracle, Lord, for just this provision. So, you know, so I can show it to many out there what a great God I serve, and what great things he can do. So thank you for that, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe it, Lord. We put our faith with Joe, and we believe that car is fixed in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I got a text from Lynn. Lynn, did you want me to relate what's going on, or did you want to? Either way, it doesn't make any difference.
Michael, you can relate it.
Oh, Do what? Okay, I will. Okay, let me get to it here. Then his family's kind of suffering right now. He said he feels like he's been hit by a freight train, body's aching, very weak, has an excruciatingly painful headache. On top of that, my respiratory system has been hit. I have a hard time breathing without going into a terrible coughing spasm. It's very painful. It's practically impossible trying to talk. Well, I forgot about that. I believe they call it bronchitis. Well, we call it gone. My children are also being spiritually afflicted and causes very serious trials. We are back to searching, confessing, forgiving, casting down, and cleaning out our physical and spiritual house. The last 4 days have been the perfect storm in my life. I am hurting bad. You all have always been so faithful to pray for us. I thank the Lord for everything he's having me come through. God bless you all abundantly. Well, okay, let's do that. Let's pray for Lynn at first. Father, in the name of Jesus, you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And we cast this power down off of him, this spirit of infirmity. If you call yourself bronchitis, it doesn't make any difference what you call yourself. You get off of him. I command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You leave his body right now in Jesus' name. All the effects and symptoms of it go from him right now in the name of Jesus. The lungs, you have breath. There is no obstructions. There is no symptoms of a cold, bronchitis, or anything else in Jesus' name. We command this spirit of infirmity off of him. Now, in the name of Jesus, we command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You must go in Jesus' name. Now, in the rest of his family, this spirit of infirmity on all the kids and Elena too, if she's got it, we command them to go from her in Jesus' name. We command them to go from the children, every one of them. You go, you spirit of infirmity and all the symptoms that go with it. And we command every cell in their bodies to be healed in the name of Jesus. We command it by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So, devil, you go from them in Jesus' name. We command complete household cleansing right now in the name of Jesus. And we command every demon in that house to leave now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for your hedge of protection around that household, that he has a hedge of protection against any curses spoken against him by any witchcraft or any other thing as far as that goes. They're a child of God. They don't receive it, and they're gone in the name of Jesus. We cast every curse spoken against them down in the name of Jesus, and every curse spoken against their house, property, or anything else in Jesus' name. We cast it all as down as null and void right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for joy, peace, and health in that family in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that the Gauchinko family is healed, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus in Jesus' name. Does everybody believe that? Thank you, Jesus. I do. Praise God forevermore. We praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Lynn. Yeah, Marilyn.
Something was coming to me when you were praying, Michael, if I could just tag on a bit here.
Yeah,
sure. Father, we cast down in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. You have given us the power over all serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt us. And you gave me that verse today. So, Lord, that's where we're standing, and we thank you and praise you for that authority that you've given us by faith. And I command all this harassing oppression off of Leonid and his family as well. Lord, all doubt, all fear, all unbelief, double-mindedness, anxiety, worry, just the weariness and the exhaustion of standing in the battle. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you that you have dispatched your angels right now, driving that darkness out of them and away from them. And Lord, that they are lifted up in the spirit, not just in the body. We thank you and praise you for the healing of the body, but Lord, that they are lifted up in the spirit. And Lord, that even now we ask and pray and believe for refreshing of the Holy Spirit there upon Leonid and his family, that it's just coming in waves, and it is the love of God that is poured out on Leonid and his family, because you have a good plan for their lives. And Lord, they are precious in your sight. And I just thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you're doing here, and that by faith in Christ Jesus, whatever we ask and believe, we have received, we shall have it. So we know that we have it. We got a lot of people here that believe. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Y'all remember Matt Farr and Sue? Matt and Sue Farr from up there and somewhere. I don't know if it did. I don't think they ever came on here, did they? No, they didn't come on here. Okay. We prayed for him the other day. He had basically the same thing. And he went out and went to working up at Charlie and Linda's. Healed it. He was healed while he was up there working, I guess. Completely. He was really bad. Amen. God bless you too, Lenny. You're here, brother. We believe it. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else need prayer?
Bring that.
Yeah, Judy, go ahead.
Well, you were speaking of Charlie and Linda, and so I would just like to bring them up in prayer. Satan's really working hard trying to get them not to get their painting done on their deck, and he's just coming against them. They may need to get more paint, and they say it's going to take 2 weeks, but they got to do this painting while it's warm. So Lord, I just ask you to make all this work out the way you want it to do. Get that paint in there faster, or let them just have enough paint. Just keep Satan away from them. I know you're allowing this for some reason, but we ask that you just take Satan down and keep him away from Charlie and Linda. In Jesus' name. You see, you want to add anything?
Lord, we bind up any evil spirits that are hindering them from doing what you want them to do. Lord, we're not sure exactly what that is, but we just pray that Charlie and Linda will see what you want them to do. If there's anything they need to change in their lives or in our hearts, Lord, just work mightily in them and help them to have the victory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe. Okay. Go ahead, Debbie.
I have a prayer request.
Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, I have a prayer request for someone. I shared this on the UBM prayer thingy when Robin was doing it, and weeks and weeks ago. Someone from Illinois, friends of ours, their granddaughter has been in the hospital since birth. She turned 7 months old today. She's got this, they call it trisomy 18. Anybody ever heard of that? Maybe Sue knows.
I can't understand what you're saying.
Can't hear me?
Well, I can hear you, but I can't understand you. Slow down just a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
like a 78 on a 33 and a third RPM would be better.
Sorry. Okay.
That's okay.
Friends of ours are grandparents, and the new grandchild is 7 months old today, has been in the hospital since birth with some disease called trisomy 18. I don't know what it is, but it's bad. Okay. And I shared it for prayer over the prayer thing with Robin, you know, weeks and weeks ago, just one time. I didn't really keep up with everybody. but it's just so serious. I shared back on an email. I get the emails every time they share it. I get the emails from them. And one time I shared about believing and faith in the Jesus bearing the curse. And I just said a lot. It was good. And got back from a friend who sent the email for this friend who was the grandma of the baby. And she said, Debbie, people don't understand really what the implications and the problems with this disease. And she's going, lifting it up, you know. And so, and that's what's been going on so much. And they always are sending lessons that they're learning. And in a way, it's good. I guess that's what they're learning. But it's like they're spiritualizing this poor baby's disease. And now I've got a new one today that this baby's 7 months old and weighs as much as their two-year-old granddaughter. And it's probably all fluid, I imagine. But it's just so serious. And I don't hear them just really claiming healing and claiming that Jesus bore the curse and that this baby should not be under this curse. So I want to pray for this baby and the family to have faith and believe for healing. They keep praying and thanking the Lord. We know you can heal, but...
Well, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I don't remember much about this, but do the parents, are they Pentecostal people, or are they full of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, they're a part of the fellowship we belong to in Illinois, and so they believe in miracles and healing. But a lot of others, friends that are involved with them, really don't. So there's such a mixture of friends.
I got you. Okay.
And that I even know. But I just want to pray for this baby. Her name is Adeline, and pray for the family. And Paul and Cindy are really strong, just strong believers. And she's the grandmother, and he's the grandfather. So anyway, let this be broken over this poor baby. And the mom and dad, of course, are really having it bad through all this. So their daughter-in-law and son. So Lord, I just pray for, we lift this up to you, God. Just command an end to this in the name of Jesus. We take authority over you, Satan, authority over this infirmity in Jesus' name, and cast it from Adeline in Jesus' name. Father, we come against unbelief in the family, unbelief in the believers in Jesus' name. Come against their unbelief and pray, God, that you would just turn them to have faith in you, Father. We thank you for taking our faith, Lord, as we pray and believe, Lord, that you bore the curse for Adeline, God. And we just cast that forth from her in Jesus' name and command a turnaround. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you will give them eyes to see by not what they see, but eyes of faith, Lord, to see what you've promised to do and you've said that you have done already in Jesus' name. I pray for you to do a new thing in their hearts, God, that only you can do. Quicken to them, Lord, by your Spirit, what you have done and what you have for them, Lord, and for this baby, Radline. We thank you, God, for healing her. We thank you for a report, God, that that the enemy is cursed and put back off of this, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for reversal in this, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yes, bring this baby home. We command all this weight and the problems with this all this extra weight on this poor 7-month-old baby to reverse and go off of her in Jesus' name. We ask you for a miracle. And we thank you for that miracle, God, but we receive what we've asked for, Lord. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. We stand in the gap for them, Father. In Jesus' name, and for Adeline, Father. In the name of Jesus, thank you for your blood. Thank you for your sacrifice, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Can you phonetically spell the disease?
Trisomy 18.
Trifony?
Tris, T-R-I-S. So phonetically, T-R-I-S-E-M-Y, trisomy. It's called trisomy 18.
Trisomy.
Cortisone.
That don't make any difference.
Cortisol? No, something else. I can't think of it. Anyway.
Chromosome.
Anyway. Pardon? Chromosome.
That's it. I knew that word.
It'll work.
I knew that
anyway,
word. Okay, let's part.
Really bad, so.
All right, in the name of Jesus, right now, I command that spirit of trisomy 18 off of Adeline to go right now in Jesus' name, and all the symptoms go with it. In the name of Jesus, we command every blood cell, everything, and every organ, every her heart, all of them be healed right now. In the name of Jesus, I command the swelling to go down. In Jesus' name, I command water retention to quit. In Jesus' name, I command complete healing in Adeline. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy upon Adeline right now. We thank you, Father, that you're going to do this, and it's going to be such a miracle that they'll understand that it came from you and not from anything else, not from the doctors, not from any kind of medication, that it came from you, that it will confound the doctors and bring mom, dad, and all the unbelievers around there back to you, Father, to believe what your word says in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. We dedicate Adeline to you, Father, in the name of Jesus right now. We just praise you, Father, that Adeline is yours. She's healed. She's delivered. And she is set free by the blood of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Does everybody believe that?
Amen. Yeah.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that little 7-month-old girl being normal again, in Jesus' name.
Lord, we just pray. We thank you, Father, that nothing is impossible for you to do. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to remove that extra chromosome. That extra chromosome that's not supposed to be in her body, that's abnormal. So we just thank you, Father, for removing that and wiping it out so that she can live a normal life in Jesus' name. And you get the glory and honor and praise. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah.
Says they're born with extra chromosomes.
Not no more.
Not no more. We just pray that they're.
That's right. That chromosome's gone. Makeup
comes back in line with the Word of God.
Amen. Thank you. I believe it, boys. I believe it. I believe we're going to hear a testimony from that family. Debbie, Denny, y'all going to hear something from them. Says, y'all won't believe what happened the other night. You're going to say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know what happened. Glory to God. That baby's healed, isn't she? How'd you know? Well, because we got a bunch over there that prays and believes what the Word said, and what the Word says, that's what we go by. Praise God. By His stripes, Adeline was healed. Was healed, I said, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We come against any curses of the enemy in Jesus' name. Any curses from the family, any curses from the doctors in Jesus' name. We cast them all down as null and void. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that they're not going to have any kind of effect on Adeline, that she's going to be just a happy baby. And not only that, she's going to love you, Lord, because she loves her. She got her healing from. In Jesus' name. I wouldn't doubt she's not seeing them angels work on her right now. Ooh, glory to God. Y'all just imagine in your mind right now that baby's getting up and she's just a grinning and a laughing and having a good time in Jesus' name. Without that, all that weight's gone. She's up there, Bubby. Mama, mama, mama. I'm telling you what, that baby's healed in Jesus' name. I declare it and decree it by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't y'all love little babies? Ooh, Lord of God. I hope they come up here and visit. I'll take Adeline riding on the tractor. Thank you, Jesus. I did, too. Y'all know I would. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy, I'm sorry. I forgot about you.
That's all right. You know what I shared with you earlier today? The enemy's just really been attacking me about that. And I just been casting it down, but I'd appreciate some backup. You're muted.
Well, you missed it. Well, let's see. Yes, you want me to pray?
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay. We cast down any condemnation in the name of Jesus, any kind of anxiety, we cast that down in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that what you've asked her to do is going to be anointed and have fruit. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for putting her heart at ease, that she's doing exactly what you need her to do. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for what you're doing in Missy. In Jesus' name, Lord, put her heart at ease. In Jesus' name. Sometimes that old enemy wants to sit up and well, what if? What if this? What if that? What if this? What if? We just don't listen to it. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus, because you know you're in the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, I put up a video. Did you see that in the chat?
I do. I got it.
It's 2 minutes long. And it's a prayer by the guy that I believe he was one, the guy that President mm-hmm. Trump got released from Turkey as a hostage.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long ago that prayer was, but it
it wasn't that long ago.
But it's a very powerful prayer. It's another prayer than the original from when he first got released from Turkey. This is
from October the 14th.
Yeah. Well, that's right, when it was posted. So,
yeah, that's when it was posted, right?
So I thought it'd be great to share that.
All right. I'm trying to find y'all. Oh, there you are. Is it, y'all want to hear it? All ayes say aye, all nays say nay. Ayes got it. Okay. Amen. Let me get it going here.
I ask now for an impartation of your Holy Spirit. May the fullness of the Spirit of Jesus rest upon President Trump, that he be anointed with wisdom and understanding, with your counsel and might, with knowledge and fear of the Lord. And accordingly, may President Trump not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, or lean on his own understanding, but may he recognize your prompting and move according to your guidance. I ask that you give the president supernatural discernment to know who is trustworthy and who is not. Bring into the light all deception and intrigue. Expose and reverse the plans of those who would harm President Trump and this nation. In the name of Jesus, I break off all voices and influence that do not come from you, Father God. May your truth and peace surround and reign in the White House. God, you have raised up President Trump to govern at a time when there is a resurgence of oppression. Only you, Lord Jesus Christ, can anoint him to have victories over strongholds and to establish justice for the needy. Give him strength and courage to persevere in the constant battle that surrounds him and refresh him. Father God, I see that you have such a tender heart for President Trump. Draw him close to you. I ask now for an impartation of hunger for you, so that he may love you with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and delight in knowing you. And if he came and whispering your name, may he go forward shouting your name. In Jesus' name, in the name of my King, I bless you.
Amen.
Had you seen that before, Michael?
No, that's the first time I heard it. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was. I had caught it right before I got on, and I'm like, I got to share this.
Yeah, that was awesome. Lord, we just hook our faith up with Pastor Brunson. We thank you, Lord, that that's exactly what you're doing, and your angels are taking care of it right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for ministering to Mr. Trump, in Jesus' name. You know, we had somebody that had a dream about President Trump being filled with the Holy Spirit sometime after right at the end of his presidency, maybe after he was president, I don't remember which. And he used it to help other people. Trump did. It's an awesome dream. I don't remember the whole thing of it, but maybe if I can find out where it came from, I'll get it related on here, because it was an awesome dream. Anybody else remember that? Debbie? Okay. It might have been your dream. Wasn't your dream? Okay. Judy, Sue? Oh, what a memory, I'm telling you. Thank you, Lord. Leon? No. Okay, well, I'll find out. I go in the archives. Okay, anyone else? Debbie, did you have something you wanted to share? Go ahead.
My sister just sent me this text for prayer for a baby. She said, we need to storm heaven with prayers for Ryder, Y-O-U-N-T, Ryder Yaunt. We are asking to get on your knees and plead for healing for Ryder. Please send to as many people as you can. So he's sick with pneumonia and a virus and very serious. So I thought we could pray for this Ryder.
Do you know him?
No.
Okay. Well, Father, you know how old he is?
Nope. Tiny baby.
Oh, gosh. Okay, yeah. Father, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy upon Ryder, Yaunt, in Jesus' name. We command this spirit of infirmity off of him right now in the name of Jesus. You go from him in the name of Jesus and take all your symptoms with you. As you go, in Jesus' name, I command every spirit of infirmity off of that child right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I command every blood cell, every organ in that body to be healed right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, you went to the cross so he doesn't have to suffer this. And I thank you, Father, that baby is healed right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask and we pray that his family members would speak nothing but blessings upon little Ryder Young, in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, that he is healed, in Jesus' name. And Father, we will give you the glory and the honor when we hear back from him, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Ryder Young, you be healed, delivered, and set free, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for this young baby's life. You. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Well, there's a powerful anointing in here tonight. I'm talking about in the whole fellowship. We're going to see some things happening. Ooh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray for my grandson, Blake. By the way, he passed his drug test last night. Lord, I thank you for keeping your hand over Blake. I ask, Father, that you touch him in a mighty way. And I bind up the forces of anger, rebellion, lust, self on him right now in the name of Jesus. And I command him to go from him. I bind up the spirits of addiction off of him, whether it be alcohol or drugs or anything, cigarette, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you're working in his life. I laid him on your altar. He's yours. But I do bind those demons up in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in Blake. Right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your hand on him. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
I got this returning cough constantly. He comes and it goes. I pray it down and then it comes back. And then I pray it down and it comes. It's got to go because this is not right. You just don't have something, then it go away, and then it come back. So this is crazy. You know, so in the name of Jesus, this is gone. It's gone because this is not right according to your word, according to your knowledge. And in Jesus' name, you're out of here. Bye. For the last time.
we put our faith together with Andrew that he doesn't have this problem anymore. In Jesus' name. No more coughing. And you will not come back. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Woo. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Go ahead, Leon.
Andrew, were you just praying about Trudeau?
No, I wasn't. I was.
Were you saying he's not going to come back?
Well, he did come back. So he's there. But the conservatives got 17 more seats. You know, I was when I saw the Trump thing, I was very touched. I would wish that someone could actually pray for our prime minister with that. You know, it would be really interesting.
Well, getting 17 more conservatives, what does that do?
Well, he has a minority government, so he has to depend on the party from Quebec who wants to separate from Canada to get their seats to agree and with him to have anything passed as legislation in the House. But the same thing, the conservatives have to go to these same people to have anything blocked. They're actually called the Bloc Québécois. It's kind of a cycle. They're back again, you know. It's hard to explain when you have four parties. But that's what we got here.
You got some faction, do you?
Well, you know, they want to separate from Canada. And that's all. They're just kind of more concerned. Whatever's good for Quebec is that's it, you know. That's all we're going to be interested in the federal government. And they're recognized as a party because they have more than 12 seats. So we have four parties now and a minority government. So they can't pass anything unless they make an agreement with a couple. Because you need 170 seats and they only have about 150. So they have to go to one of the lower parties and say, vote our way, and then we'll give everything to your writings. You know, they make deals in the government to get things passed the way they want. That's what I think is going to happen. It's kind of like a partisan thing. But it could be also, we had a minority government once before, and they went back to the ballot. They had to make a new voting, because if they lose their voting, you don't have a stability in the government because they can't pass it. So they have to be careful what they choose. They have to make sure that the other side's going to be with them on some of these things. More cooperation with the minority. But if he's going to act like he's a majority, then we might go to another election within a few months or whatever. It's hard to say.
Yeah. Okay. So Trudeau's kind of in a pickle right now as far as getting anything done that he wants done. That's probably a good thing. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
I'd like to lift up my grandson, Christian. I don't know how he's doing right now, but I just feel like I need to bind up those demons that have been using him against himself and others. Father, I just lift him up to you and just ask that you deliver him from the works of the enemy, Father. I pray, Father, that he recognize that he's being rebellious, that I bind up those evil spirits of rebellion. I bind up those evil spirits of relating to sexual sins. I break the power of those demons and I command them to cease their activities on my grandson, and I pray, Father God, that he would come to his senses, recognizing he's going the wrong way, that he needs to follow after you and what your word says, that he would seek after you. They would have a hunger and thirst after you and your word and your truth and your life. Father, just work mightily in his heart. Show him the error of his ways, that he would repent. Grant him repentance, Lord, that he would turn from his ways and turn to your ways, Lord. And give his parents, Bill and Lisa, the understanding, the way to deal with him, and not listen to the demons, but listen to you, what you're saying to them in their by your spirit, into their spirit. Father, help them to be obedient to you, to hear from you, to be able to know how to deal with him in every way, in Jesus' name. Yes, amen. Thank you, Father, for delivering this family from this whole curse, in Jesus' name. Amen.
What is he, about 16?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what?
Gosh, is he about 16?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't recognize his. I saw a picture of him, and it's like, that's not my grandson. But by that picture, it doesn't look like him at all. That's how much that demonic power has come against him. He's just a totally, you know, I don't know if it's oppression, or if it's, what's the other word I want to say? I don't know if they've got a big hold on him or not, but I come against it in the name of Jesus.
And Lord, we hook our faith up with Sue, and we believe everything she prayed is happening right now in this young man, Christian. Lord, we ask and we pray that you put it in his heart to live up to his name, which is Amen. Christian. That means he's Christ-like.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for doing this mighty work in Christian, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise you, Father, for what you're doing in that young man.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. We come against, we bind up all those hormones that's going stupid in him, in Jesus' name. We bind up all the demonic activity around him and in him, in Jesus' name. Right now, cast it off of him. And Lord, we thank you for clarity of thought for this young man, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'd like to pray prayer to be for myself. I've been feeling really tired and feeling kind of off, you know, like not dizzy, but kind of like, I don't know how to explain it, but just not physically not been up to par. And today I woke up with a sort, well, not right this morning, but after my nap, I ended up feeling a sore throat. So I come against that. I come against any infirmity that's trying to come on me. It does not belong to me. I tell it to go in the name of Jesus. All symptoms have to go. All demons that are trying to put something on me have to go in the name of Jesus. Or I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We believe it's done in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Leah.
And I want to pray, Lord, that anything that they're spraying in the atmosphere, that we claim it's null and void, it can't do anything to any of us, and we reject it in the name of Jesus. It cannot have a foothold in us or on us. In Jesus' name, it is null and void. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for that sphere of protection around each one of us as we walk out in the outside, that none of that stuff affects us. Thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Yeah, there's little bitty white flakes coming out of the sky. I've noticed it. Don said something about it yesterday or the day before, but I've noticed it for about 2 or 3 weeks now. Every now and then I see those real white flakes. It's very, very readily you can see them. You can see them. You know. But I said, I wonder what in the world that is. But something they're spraying, I suspect. And they're not real small, minute things. They're very noticeable. We come against that in the name of Jesus, that it doesn't have any adverse effects on any of your chosen, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else got a prayer request? Praise report. Hey, by the way, somebody sent me a video today of, might have been Leon. Leon, you want to tell about that planet?
Yeah, if you go early in the morning, this particular guy had a camera where he was pointing at the sun, and if he reduced the brightness of the sun, and he did it two or three times, so it got down to real small what the sun was looking like, and then right up next to it was another sun. Or a bright planet. And it wasn't a lens flare because he moved his camera all the way around it and you could see two lens flares moving around the sun and this other planet. But this planet was right close to the sun. It looked like, it could have been, I was thinking about that too, Michael. It could have been something like, Mars or something behind the sun, and just the sun is bright all over, so it shoots light out the opposite direction and could light up another planet. But he was saying it was probably Nibiru, and it was pretty big in size.
Yeah, it's bigger. It was bigger than Mars.
Huh?
It looked bigger than Mars.
Yeah, well, I couldn't think of any other planet, Saturn,
yeah.
Or one of those. There's a couple of ones that are bigger, but I can't think of what the names of them are right now.
Well, Mercury, but Mercury's a little bit of a tiny thing. Isn't that Mercury up there next to the sun?
Yeah, it's close to the sun, yeah. If you look at the sun, the Earth is just a little speck in comparison to what the sun is, because it's like 93 million miles away. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this guy was saying it was Nibiru or Wormwood or one of those other planets. So, and mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll try to investigate it a little further. So
yeah. Well, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. Could be. A lot of things coming in play, aren't they? Go ahead, Missy.
I was thinking, you know, I'd go get some of those welder's glasses. And the Lord reminded me, and if anybody else has them, from when you looked at the eclipse, you could use these to see what that guy is seeing.
I got some of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got some 3D glasses too. Awesome.
Yeah, they're not 3D, but they were to observe the eclipse. Anyway. So tomorrow morning is supposed to be pretty clear, so I'm gonna go take a look.
Okay.
Did you see that video too?
Yeah, Michael sent it to me.
Okay.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. But it could just be one of the planets in the solar system. You know, if it's in the right position and so forth, coming up behind the sun and being illuminated by the sun, by the other side of the sun, but it was big enough to take notice anyway. So
yeah, I'd be curious to see what where Terrell says or what he thinks where the planet is right now.
Him or that guy from down there in Louisiana.
Terrell Croft or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's supposed to be clear the next couple of days anyway. So.
Yeah. And by the way, Bible study is going to be over to Shaw's tomorrow.
I'll have to find what I did with those glasses.
Look in your comic book basket.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? One other thing, a quick thing I want to mention. I was watching Dave Hodges this morning, and he mentioned about a tax assessor in Maricopa County, Arizona, which is where Sheriff Joe is, which is supposed to be one of the most corrupt counties in Arizona, but Arizona, the whole state is pretty much corrupt, according to him. But anyway, he said that they arrested him for trafficking, human trafficking. He lives on a $70,000 job, is what Hodges said. And he has bought houses and brought women over from the Mariana Islands and put them in there and traffic them, so to speak. And I don't know, it's just a mess, but he said that it goes even further than this little tax assessor. He said, can't believe that somebody that doesn't make any more than he does has set up this great big empire. He said it has to be. And he says, I've had people tell me that it goes a whole lot further than just this little tax assessor, but they're dumping it all on him, the deep state here. But they think it's part of some Epstein stuff, and that some real high people, you may see it, part of, what is the name of that? Children's Protective Services, CPS. That they use that a lot. Said most of the, he said, I don't know, but he says he's been investigating this thing for a while. Most of CPSs in the United States are doing this, is selling children. They come up, one of them, he said, he gave a town or a state, or I don't remember which, but he said 70 kids missing. 70? How do you miss 70 kids? And then not have anybody say anything about it, you know. So it goes way up the ladder, I suspect. Yeah, Missy.
One thing he said, too, which I was like, oh, my gosh. There's tunnels that go to children's playgrounds. Did you catch that, Michael?
They're what? Yeah.
There's tunnels that go to children's playgrounds.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, Leah.
They go to great lengths. Jeez.
Well, there's a lot of money involved. There's a lot of money involved in trafficking children. That's where the money is right there. The horrific things that they do with these children is just crazy. They released 2,100. It was, just a minute, Leah, let me tell about this right quick. 2,100 children that were in cages underground in California in this last underground place that they bombed. They got them out of there before they bombed it. 2,100 in cages. They said what they do. They it's a baby farm. They called it a baby farm, and they keep the ones that they want to keep. And then they sell the rest of them for whatever, you know, sometimes for body parts or for sacrificial stuff. You know, just crazy. It's just like they were meat, you know, chattel. Anyway, go ahead, Leah.
Well, I was just going to say, I saw an article today that said that they were that there was one state that lost 550 children from CPS, Child Protective Service. 550 in that one state. So if you times that by 50 states, you got 25,000 kids.
How do you not have an outcry?
Yeah. Well, how do they lose 550 kids?
They don't lose them. They sell them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what they do. And why there's not an outcry by the American public, I don't know. I'm crying out.
About 6 months ago, I posted a article about a guy who grew up in the Child Protective Services in Washington State, and he was given all kinds of information about how they get kids and give them to people that sell them, and they give them more kids and sell them, and he was experiencing this. They were using him as a child, and you know, he was a grown man now, so he was telling all everything he knew about it, you know, and it was horrible. And they've been doing that for 25 years or 50 years.
You know? Is that a federal agency or is that a private?
No, that was just a guy.
No, I'm talking about Children Protective Services.
That's a state run. Child Protective Services is every state runs their own.
So if you've got a corrupt state government, you more than likely got that
going on. Most of them are.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
And one thing he said Oklahoma's the worst. I heard him say that.
Really?
One of the worst. And Arkansas is right in there with him.
Yeah.
At Clinton, I don't doubt it.
And in Tennessee, I don't know. Tennessee's got a pretty conservative government, but that doesn't mean anything. Mm-mm. They're conservative in their politics, but who knows what they do?
I don't know. Okay. All right. Now that we've got all of that taken care of. Yeah, Missy.
Well, let's pray about this.
Okay.
Well, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray that that people in this country would find out about what's going on, that this is being kept hush-hush, and that it would be broadcast on media that people would hear, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, to bring it all to light and bring to justice all those people that are doing this in Child Protective Services, Lord, and that all that are corrupt that are in this, that would be taken out and replaced with people who really love children and really care for them, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, to continue to free these children, show where these children are that have been displaced, been sold, whatever. Lord, we just ask you to put your hedge of protection around the ones in particular that are your elect, that are older, but Lord, we just ask you for your protection upon all those that especially are not of the age of accountability, Lord, and just watch over them and keep them and grant repentance unto salvation to those that are your elect. We just ask you to give them a mind, a clear mind to repent and believe in you, Lord, and just bring them, release them from the bondage that they're in physically and spiritually, Lord. And we just command these spirits bondage off them in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and praise you for the mighty work that you're doing, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just ask and we pray that you expose all of these government officials that are involved in this in the name of Jesus and bring them down, Father, real quick. And Lord, we thank you for rescuing all of these little children and all, well, even adults too, that are hooked up in this, Father. And we thank you for it, Lord. We see, Lord, we know that people have been killed for snooping around these type of things. It was an ex-Arkansas senator lady that had been investigating them. She was shot dead in her home. And then another man in Oklahoma is doing the same thing, got shot also in Oklahoma. And there's just time after time, a reporter down in Florida got shot. All of them, Lord, we just ask that you expose this corruption and this human trafficking by the Child Protective Services, and that you bring them down in a mighty hard way, Lord. I know that President Trump has said that anybody caught in human trafficking, kids, would be it's execution. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that it will be a deterrent to anybody that thought that they might line their pockets over some child's life. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you for swift justice, Lord, to free these children up in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
And Lord, we thank you for the ones that you've already freed. Those several thousands, Lord. We are really touched that you took the time to set them free, Lord, from their captors. And you've saved their lives, and all glory for this has been given to you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. May they have wonderful families. Amen.
Amen. One other thing. Sandy had a dream. I had a dream. I've been to the mountaintop. All right, let's see if I can find it here.
No, there's so many families out there that can't have children, and they really would want them to. You know, that's distressing.
Well, that's that family. You see, Children's Protective Service is I won't get into that. That's just crazy.
Okay. Oh, another thing that he said about was, a lot of children that were orphans from the whole Haiti earthquake and everything, they were taken and sold. A lot of them were taken and sold. I caught that too. Sold or just put into sex trafficking. Anyway, it's horrible.
Okay. This is an email that David sent out, and I'll just read it to y'all, and it'll go out over the internet too. So, Satanists gather again to curse Trump and his supporters. They're saying it's to remove him from office, but we know it's to kill him. That's what their main purpose is to kill him. This has failed every time because they announce it and Christians pray against it. So he said, agree with me, Saints, and I'm going to recite the prayer that he prayed, and y'all agree with us, okay? Father, we ask that this time you turn their curses back on themselves publicly to show your disapproval. We bind and forbid any curses against Trump or his cabinet and military force that's rounding up lawbreakers or on true Christians in Jesus' name. Okay. Also, Sandy had a dream about witchcraft, and she was, watching these people, and they are conspiring even now to get together and take voodoo dolls and curse Trump and all Christians to death. That's what and she saw that in numerous places. And so it's kind of from right now to the 2nd of November, I think.
It started earlier than I felt it last week.
Well, anyway, we've prayed the prayer of faith, and you pray it for your family, and keep praying for Trump and the people around you. And if we do that, we'll see another breakthrough against these people, these Satanists. And that goes for the Democratic Party, too. I know there ain't no Democrats on here. Don't raise your hand if you are one. I'm telling you now. But, you know, there are some good Democrats out there. I just haven't been able to find them yet, but I'm sure they are. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right, I guess that's all, unless somebody else has something to pray about.
I started feeling the witchcraft come about last week, about midweek. And I knew Lord told me it was familiar spirits coming around again. So it's, and I got over that finally. I felt it over the weekend, even got through it, but it was just, I knew there were, it's oppression coming. So let's cast it down. Father, in the name of Jesus, we definitely take authority over the spirit coming our way, come against this ministry. Against all ministers of God, anybody that's doing your service or your children, your bride, and coming against our definitely our government that's trying to run a true course, follow after your ways, Father, we come against this in the name of Jesus. And we know that these times are going to be evil and dark, so we're coming against the darkness, Father, now. We're going to expose it and put it in the light so they can have no power in this stuff. In the realm that we survive, that we live in, Lord, it has no ability to touch us. We bind it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. We praise you, Lord. That's for everybody in here, too. In Jesus' name. Okay. All right, anybody else? Get your books.
The spirits I noticed were faction, and it was the sexual spirits trying to come in and invade your mind. They're factious spirits and they're sexual, both of them.
Okay. You know, last night, this morning, I guess, about 2:30. Man, I woke up and I had fear all over me. I said, what is this? And fear just gripped me, man. I couldn't hardly get out of bed. And so I just said, I ain't putting up with this garbage, and commanded it to go, and it went. But that's the first time that's happened in years that I had that. And so I went to praying, you know, I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, just gone. Praise God. That hadn't happened to me in a long time.
It said, God said familiar spirits, so it's going to be maybe what we're all familiar with.
I ain't familiar with fear.
Or felt come on, it's all of a sudden we feel again.
Yeah, could be. Could be. Okay, where are we at? Oh, chapter 6. I don't think so, Joe. So we're on 5. I'm messing with you, but okay, we're on 5. He restored my soul. Praise God. Okay, this is another good one. I enjoyed this one as well. I did the other 4. Anybody want to say anything before we get started? And I'm going to read this first page. And if y'all have something you want to add after I get through, that's fine. Okay? I'll do it kind of like that. He restores my soul. In studying this psalm, it must always be remembered that it is a sheep in the Good Shepherd's care who is speaking. It is essentially a Christian's claim of belonging in the family of God. As such, he boasts of the benefits of such a relationship. This being the case, one might well ask, why then this statement, he restores my soul? Surely it would be assumed that anyone in the Good Shepherd's care could never become so distressed in soul as to need restoration. But the fact remains, see, somebody's got not unmuted, or not muted, that'd be Leah. Got you. But the fact remains that this does happen. Even David, the author of the psalm, who was much loved of God, knew what it was to be cast down and dejected. He had tasted defeat in his life and felt the frustration of having fallen under temptation. David was acquainted with the bitterness of feeling hopeless and without strength in himself. In Psalm 42:11, he cries out, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God." Now, there is an exact parallel to this in caring for sheep. Only those intimately acquainted with sheep and their habits understand the significance of a cast sheep or a cast down sheep. Okay, has anybody got any scriptures on those? I know you do. Yeah, Barry, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, you know, they mentioned this falling down, the, you know, the sheep thing where they are kind of very vulnerable when they get in this situation. And thought about Matthew 10:29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them shall fall to the ground without your Father?" So it's like the shepherd looking over, you know, the sheep, and watching over those sparrows, like it says here. So kind of the same thing.
Amen. Anybody else? "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God." Well, some of this whole thing, I just throw it in there, Philippians 4:6. "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God." So when those, we get cast down, we just do exactly what that Philippians 4:6 says. Anybody else? I'm turning the page. Here we go. I'm doing it. All right. There is an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that has turned over on its back and cannot get up again by itself. A cast sheep is a very pathetic sight. Lying on its back, its feet in the air, it flays away frantically, struggling to stand up without success. Sometimes it will bleat a little for help, but generally it lies there lashing about in fright and frustration. Tim, where's Tim? Have you ever seen a sheep cast?
Oh, yeah. They, like he says, it's the overweight ones and the ones that got too much wool typically, but they get on a hillside and they'll be there upside down and pawing at the air, trying to get up, and nothing happened.
that's weird. That's why I never did do any sheep herding, I guess. Okay, if the owner does not arrive on the scene within a reasonable short time, the sheep will die. This is but another reason why it is so essential for a careful sheepman to look over his flock every day, counting them to see that all are able to be up and on their feet. If one or two are missing, often the first thought to flash into his mind is, "One of my sheep is cast somewhere. I must go and search and set it on its feet again." One particular ewe that I owned in a flock of Cheviots was notorious for being a cast sheep. Every spring when she became heavy in lamb, it was not uncommon for her to become cast every second or third day. Only my diligence made it possible for her to survive from one season to the next. One year, I had to be away from the ranch for a few days when she was having her problems. So I called my young son aside and told him he would be responsible for her well-being while I was absent. If he managed to keep her on her feet until I came home, he would be well paid for his efforts. Every evening after school, he went out to the fields faithfully and set up the old ewe so she could survive. It was quite a task, but she rewarded us with a fine pair of twin lambs that spring. It was not only the shepherd who keeps a sharp eye for cast sheep, but also the predators. Buzzards, vultures, dogs, coyotes, cougars, and all that. That a cast sheep is easy prey, and death is not far off. This knowledge that any cast sheep is helpless, close to death, and vulnerable to attack, makes the whole problem of cast sheep serious for the manager. Nothing seems to so arouse his constant care and diligent attention to the flock as the fact that even the largest, fattest, strongest, and sometimes healthiest sheep can become cast and be a casualty. Actually, it is often the fat sheep that are the most easily cast. Anybody got anything on that? Yeah, Missy.
Well, what comes to my mind is of being fat, and I think of the flesh. It's easy. I just think of that being the flesh, being easy prey. If you walk after the flesh, you're an easy prey to the enemy.
Amen. The way it happens is this. A heavy, fat, or long-fleeced sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out or relax. Suddenly, the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. It may feel a sense of panic and start to paw frantically. Frequently, this only makes things worse. It rolls over even further. Now it's quite impossible for it to regain its feet. I got a question, Tim. I have a legitimate question about this. When a sheep has been sheared, does it ever cast?
Well, it can, but it's not near as likely because the sheep we had, they get a mat of wool 6-7 inches thick, and when they're sheared, they wouldn't get their center of gravity was that much lower, and they would be a lot less likely to get upside down. But
is their back flat that they do that?
Yeah, it's mainly their side that affects them. That's where the bulk of the wool is because gravity keeps it off their spine.
No, I'm talking about a newly sheared sheep.
And I don't recall a freshly sheared one ever getting cast, but we didn't have very many sheep either. And it was fair that ours got upside down.
Okay. Well, we'd ask Gaino, but she's in Arkansas.
I actually had to get online and watch for cast sheep, see what it looked like on videos. So it was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And the guy was saying, if you take a walk in the fields and you see a sheep cast, go over there and walk slowly to him. He's coaching us through how to bring him back on his feet, you know. But, yeah, it looks like they shear him all the time. They kind of help that, and I got to watch them shear the sheep, too.
Yeah, that begs for another question. How often do they shear them? Do they shear them at a length of the wool, or do they just shear them just because they need to shear them?
Ours were real matted because we had a lot of sticks, and where they graze, they get pine needles and sticks in their fur. So we didn't cut it for the wool, but when it started getting hot in late June, they needed to be shared because they were miserable. And then if we got ambitious, we'd do them again in August or September going into the winter, so they wouldn't be real, real long fur in the winter.
Do they grow fast? Does that grow fast?
Yeah, pretty good.
Okay. So if you were doing it for the wool, how often would you shear?
I think twice a year.
Is that all?
Yeah, I think that's about all you get, because the longer fibers are a lot easier for the spinners to work with.
I got you. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay, do they have a machine that cleans that out?
I suppose. I think you can wash it, and if, you know, like where he had his sheep, you know, in the pasture, if it was in grass, they'd probably be a lot cleaner wool. But ours were in the, you know, in the little sticky bushes and stuff, and laying in the dirt, and it wasn't very pretty wool. We tried to clean up some of it, but it wasn't worth the work.
Reason I ask about that, because when you pick cotton and you run it through a gin, it combs the cotton, and I wondered if they didn't have a machine that did that same thing to wool. And it not only does it comb it, it kind of puts it in a spring, you know.
It's probably similar to a cotton gin. It was a drum that had hooks on it, mm-hmm. and it would spin and it kind of pull the fiber out, but you had to put a fairly clean product into it, I think. I think the dirt and the sticks would gum it up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Boy, I've learned all about these sheep.
So that wool probably isn't really very good smelling stuff if it's in a pile.
Have you ever smelled a sheep? Man, they smell just like a goat. They smell worse than a goat.
They have some really pink skin when you're scaring them.
A sheep don't smell nothing like a belly goat smell.
I know. But I have smelled some sheep that smell nasty. As it lies there struggling, gases begin to build up in the rumen. As these expand, they tend to retard and cut off blood circulation to extremities of the body, especially the legs. If the weather is very hot and sunny, a calf sheep can die in a few hours. Boy, that's... If it is cool and cloudy and rainy, it may survive in this position for several days. If the calf sheep is a ewe with lambs, of course, it's a multiple loss to the owner. If the lambs are unborn, they perish with her. If they are young and suckling, they become orphans. All of this adds to the seriousness of the situation. And so it will be seen why a sheepman's attention is always alert for this problem. During my own years as a keeper of sheep, perhaps some of the most poignant memories are wrapped around the commingled anxiety of keeping account of my flock and repeatedly saving and restoring cast sheep. It sounds like it's kind of an everyday thing. I guess if you have a lot of sheep, it would be. It is not easy to convey on paper the sense of this ever-present danger. Often I would go out early and merely cast my eye across the sky. If I saw the black-winged buzzards circling overhead in their long, slow spirals, anxiety would grip me. Leaving everything else, I would immediately go out into the rough, wild pastures and count the flock to make sure everyone was well and fit and able to be on its feet. This is part of the pageantry and drama depicted for us in the magnificent story of the 99 sheep with one astray. There is the shepherd's deep concern, his agonizing search, his longing to find the missing one, and his delight in restoring it not only to its feet, but also to the flock as well as to himself. Anybody got anything on that? Whoa, what happened? Okay. Has anybody got anything on this? Anybody get those scripts? Yeah, Barry, I see. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got one here from Job, chapter 22, verse 29. Think of ourselves as sheep. When they cast thee down, thou shalt say, there is lifting up, and the humble person he will save.
Okay, did anybody get one on the 90 and 9? Matthew 18 and 12. How think ye, if any man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountain and seek that which goeth astray? Amen. When you have somebody that leaves the fellowship, don't you start praying for them that they come back? Pray for them. And go after them and try to reason with them. Come on back, brother. Get off your back. Let's go. Amen. And then 13, and if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth over it more than over the 99, which have not gone astray. Yeah, absolutely. I can see that. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else get anything? Again and again, I would spend hours searching for a single sheep that was missing. Then more often than not, I would see it at a distance, down on its back, lying helpless. At once, I would start to run toward it, hurrying as fast as I could, for every minute was critical. Within me, there was a mingled sense of fear and joy. Fear that it might be too late, joy that it was found at all. As soon as I reached the cast ewe, my first impulse was to pick it up. Tenderly, I would roll the sheep over on its side. This would relieve the pressure of gases in the room. If she had been down for long, I would have to lift her onto her feet. Then, straddling the sheep with my legs, I would hold her erect, rubbing her limbs to restore the circulation to her legs. And this often took quite a little time. When the sheep started to walk again, she often just stumbled, staggered, and collapsed in a heap once more. All the time. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, one thing that I don't feel like quite brought out to light enough is that with sheep, if you do have one that's cast or lost or stuck or something like that, as much as they're a herding social creature, the rest of them will just wander off and go about grazing, and they don't seem to even notice, even if it's one of their own lambs, that one's, you know, they don't hang out with it. They'll wander off and just keep on doing about their business and leave the one that's stuck completely, abandoned really by its mother and the rest of the, you know, herd and siblings. And that's, there's gotta be a parable there that, you know, that we need a shepherd to guide us and herd us, because, you know, if one falls astray without a shepherd, the rest of society is just going to, you know, continue on with their life and not worry about it. And I just kind of thought about that as you were reading that, but they'll just, you know, go on about their business with one trapped or stuck or upside down or whatever. And they don't even, you know, they don't care about it. They don't appear to care about it anyway.
Keep forgetting that silly thing. You just leave it on, lock it on. No, I was saying the cattle just the opposite. If a calf is in trouble, that cow will just beller and beller and beller until somebody come to help that calf. And so most other creatures too, most other dogs can do the same thing. Okay. All the... Somebody knock. I heard somebody knocking. Okay. All the time I worked on the cast sheep, I would talk to it gently. When are you going to learn to stand on your own feet? You big dummy. I'm so glad I found you in time, you rascal. Okay. Little by little, the sheep would regain its equilibrium. It would start to walk steadily and surely. By and by, it would dash away to rejoin the others, set free from its fears and frustration, given another chance to live a little bit longer. All of this pageantry is conveyed to my heart and mind when I repeat the simple statement, He restores my soul. There's something intensely personal, intensely tender, intensely endearing, yet intensely fraught with danger in the picture. On the one hand, there is the sheep, so helpless, so utterly immobilized, though otherwise strong, healthy, and flourishing. While on the other hand, there is the attentive owner, quick and ready to come to its rescue, ever patient and tender and helpful. At this point, it is important to point out that similarly, in the Christian life, there is an exciting and comforting parallel here. Many people have the idea that when a child of God falls, when he is frustrated and helpless in a spiritual dilemma, that God becomes disgusted, fed up, and even furious with him. This is simply not so. One of the great revelations of the heart of God given to us by Christ is that of himself as our shepherd. He has the same identical sensations of anxiety, concern, and compassion for cast men and women as I had for cast sheep. This is precisely why he looked on people with such pathos and compassion. It explains his magnanimous dealing with down and out individuals for whom even human society had no use. It reveals why he wept over those who spurned his affection. It discloses the depth of his understanding of undone people to whom he came eagerly and quickly, ready to help, to save, and to restore. Folks, the people that have left out of faction, and if they repent and they come back, that's the way we're to be. We're to just love them, forget about the past, it makes no difference what they did. And if they've got true repentance, we're to love them right back, just like that sheep. Get it up, stroke it, do whatever's necessary to keep them on the right road of Jesus. And that's going to be our job. We're going to see that. Y'all are going to see that in the days ahead. People that have trashed you, have done vile things against you. But when they repent, we have to be just like Jesus and love them back in. When I read the life story of Jesus Christ and examine carefully his conduct in coping with human need, I see him again and again as the good shepherd picking up cast sheep. The tenderness, the love, the patience that he used to restore Peter's soul after the terrible tragedy of his temptation is a classic picture of the Christ coming to restore one of his own. And so he comes quietly, gently, reassuringly to me, no matter when or where or how I may be cast down. In Psalm 56:13, we are given an accurate commentary on this aspect of the Christian's life in these words. You have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. We have to be realistic about the life of the child of God and face facts as they really are. most of us, though we belong to Christ and desire to be under his control and endeavor to allow ourselves to be led by him, do on some occasion find ourselves cast down. We discover that often when we are most sure of ourselves, we stumble and fall. Boy, that's so true. How many of you have ever, when you got out of the Word, you just, you know, said, I'm just tired reading this thing every day, da-da-da-da-da. And you get off and you start doing something, and you start seeing, you're getting away from the Lord. Has y'all ever done that? I know I ain't the only one that's ever done that. Now, come on. But when you get away from God, you're getting away from the Word. So it to stay in the Word is to keep you on the right track. You can't get off track if you're staying in the Word all the time. Can I tell you, there ain't nothing more important than your salvation and staying and getting close to God as you can between now and the time that this thing starts. Right now is the most opportune time to get close to him and to surrender everything that you have to the Lord. He's told us that the rewards are going to be just manifold. It's going to be out of this world because of the things that you do now, the sacrifices you make now. This is what's going to determine your rewards in heaven. He said, nothing down here on earth is worth missing what you got waiting on you up there. Nothing. We discover that often when we are most sure of ourselves, we stumble and fall. Sometimes, boy, that's true. Man, when you think you've got it, you got everything. You got it right in your back pocket. Man, I got it. Lord of God, I know everything there is I need to know. Next thing you know, you're flat on your face. Sometimes when we appear to be flourishing in our faith, we find ourselves in a situation of utter frustration and futility. Paul, in writing to the Christian at Corinth, warned them of this danger. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Admittedly, this may appear as one of the paradoxes and enigmas of our spiritual lives. When we examine it carefully, however, we will not find it too difficult to understand. It's when we get away from God and when we quit reading the Word and when we think that we've got it all figured out, it's when we stumble. At least that's what's happened to me in the past. Yes, sir.
I was just thinking about how, you know, when you think you got it all together, then you get at ease. You're not watching and you're not praying. You're not standing close to the Lord. You're just thinking you got it all together. And that's when you start to get at ease. It made me think about that sheep when he's starting to sit down and then he starts to get at ease and he starts to fall over. That's how you get cast down.
Yeah.
Another scripture that, watching and praying, how important it is to do that. But, you know, just reading this over, I'm thinking, wow, how important it is to have a shepherd after God's heart, you know, a shepherd that's going to take care of. I mean, it's a 24/7 job to take care of these sheep.
Amen. Amen.
Anyway,
I can imagine. Is anybody here? Yeah, Missy.
Two scriptures came to me in the top part of this page where it says, there's a magnanimous dealing with down and out individuals for whom even human society had no use. It reveals why he wept over those who spurned his affection. You know, he sympathizes. And this came to me as Hebrews 4:15 and 16, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that so that we may receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. So, you know, that's our shepherd. And another about being cast down. And so he comes quietly, gently reassuring me, no matter when or where or how I may be cast down. And 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 5 to 7, I believe it is. Likewise, ye younger, be subject unto the elder. Yea, all of you gird yourselves with humility to serve one another, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. And, amen. Yeah, and it's almost like I have to go to 8 then, too. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom will stand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. But anyway, yeah. Both those sets of verses came to me.
Mm-hmm.
I had to look up the word magnanimous. Because I can't even say it.
Not you, Andrew.
Noble in mind, high-minded, generous, in looking over injury or insult, rising above pettiness or meanness. Magnanimous. Forget it.
That's easy for you to say, isn't it? Yeah, magnanimous is a good word there, right there.
I also had to look at dejected. You know, this is another one. It was earlier on. It's talking about, I guess.
What does that mean?
That's depressed, discouraged, disheartened, downcast. Lowness of spirit is dejection, but dejected was the other words. So that's, and that's just before the verse there. Why are you cast down, my soul, which is from King David? Yeah. You know, I actually thought of Luke 19:21 when you were reciting those intensely personal, intensely tender, intensely endearing, intensely fought with danger, frothed with danger. You see, this guy who had the talent thought the Lord was different. You know, he thought he was assured. He was harsh and severe and stern. And I guess that's why he didn't gain any talents. So it was just where I was reading in the Bible. And, you know, I also thought of Job as a sheep, you know, in the book of Job. And how he came through it all to the end where he got double what he used to even have before. So,
you know, I think that's one of the biggest problems of Christians is believing that God has all grace and all love in his heart towards. And when we come back to him, we think that we have to work our way back into his grace, when in fact, as soon as you repent, you're back in. God loves you just as much as he did before you sinned. And that's kind of hard because of our upbringing a lot of time. Yeah, Missy.
You know, I was thinking the other week, and it just came to me again about how, you know, David was a shepherd. The word refers to Jesus as the good shepherd. But Jesus was also the Lamb of God too, you know, and, you know, we're referenced to as sheep too, you know, and it's just like, what comes to me is Jesus was became all things for us, you know? you know? He epitomizes the best possible shepherd, because he was the lamb that was slain, but even before the foundation of the world, he, you know, like I read there, you know, we have a high priest. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with the weakness, with our weaknesses. You know, he went through everything and more than what a lot of us go through, but he knows, he sympathizes with us. You know, he was a sheep too, you know, in a sense, you know. They say sheep, I think I've heard that sheep, when they're attacked, they just cower down and don't do anything, you know. And the Lord, him as the Lamb of God, he didn't defend himself. He willingly went to the cross. Just like we need to. We need to take up our cross and follow him, following his steps. But anyways, just thinking about that. How he's the good shepherd, but he was also a lamb too. It was slain, so.
I'm looking for something. Give me just a minute here.
We only got a few minutes.
Oh, we'll get as long as I want. Just give me a minute here. I'm going to look this something up. It's something real, real cool. Okay, I'll do this next week. Or what's today? Is this Thursday or Tuesday? This is Tuesday. Okay, all right. Y'all remember where we are? We're on page 58. Top of page 58. We'll start there next week. So be sure and read. What is it, Joe? Chapter 6, 5. 6. Yeah, after this one. We're on chapter 5, I know, but we're going to do chapter 6 also next week. This is good. I love this thing. This is awesome. Pretty neat. Study something else for me, if you would, for next week. Meditate on those verses in Luke that talks about the man on the cross that asked Jesus to remember him. Study on those verses and see what you can come with that. It's going to fit right in with what we're studying here. See what you can come up with. All right. Anybody else need prayer before we get out of here? Before we close out? Not get out of here, but close out. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask for your protection upon everybody here. I thank you, Lord, that your angels, your guardian angels are all around us, Lord, that we don't have to worry about these curses that these witches and warlocks are pronouncing against your chosen people. Lord, I don't know what all they got in mind, but it doesn't make any difference. We know we've got the Psalm 91. And we claim it, we decree it, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, that everyone here is walking in victory. And we thank you for Lynn and family's health. We thank you for 7-month-old Adeline's healing. We thank you for Ryder Yount's healing and everybody else we prayed for in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to expose all of the corrupt federal officials and state officials that are trafficking in kids and women in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us. Keep our eyes focused on you, Lord, because that keeps us out of trouble when we do that. And thank you, Lord, for all that you've done with us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right.
All right.
We'll see y'all. Bless you.
All righty. God bless everybody. Good night.